Previously on 1P D&D.
When I get out into the hallway, can I look inside the portable hole and see if that egg is in there?
Yep, and it is.
I think we're parents now.
Ren took it upon himself to investigate the Cult of Elemental Fire. And he pulls out this glass globe. This is a devastation orb.
At the top of the stairs, you see a fog-like, oily cloud.
How carefully you walk into this fog.
You emerge into a room with a stone ziggurat capped by a huge altar of black granite.
Victorio Castellanter turns to you. By the light of my mistress, your intrusion ends here.
And he turns and like grasps out for Stevie.
It's fire versus water!
Get your hands out of my mind, old man.
Our friendship!
We're working together.
We're co-workers, really. Where is he?
Beyond, at the Weeping Colossus. You're too late to save him. Become like my hope. Turn to ash. I'll see you in hell.
Hell is other people. And she stabs him with the spider sword.
Dismantling the patriarchy one soul at a time.
We're doing our part.
If there's any baddies, we'll try and draw them out for you.
Three strings! What are you doing here?
The fingertips on his left hand have been turned to stone. And he pulls out a war pick. I've also still got the spear from the Air Prophet.
You can see this glittery blue trident.
The trident is giving you power. You just want the power.
Yeah, I was afraid of this. Whoever made these weapons made them with the intent of bringing out the worst in people. If you're going somewhere hot enough, try and melt these down, would you?
Whoever made this weapon, they're serving something, a forgotten god.
I guess we go up to the top of this altar and do you think if I destroy this thing, it will help or hurt?
Finally, it is cracked and crumbled down around. There's a great shaking and a... And you level up to level 9. So, shall we?
See.
All right. You're standing at the foot of the ziggurat, feeling suddenly different. An old enemy has fallen beneath you. You destroyed this... Kind of makes sense that you destroyed this super arcane altar and, like, it reverberated through your body and some things got shifted. But you chose how to shift those things. At the northern passage, you see another one of those oily black clouds covering the hallway. Like, that mist that you had to push through.
Okay. Can it be lit with,
Dude, it's so lit. This whole fucking temple is lit.
Is my alchemy jug still Parasiter?
yeah.
Tight, just checking.
And it's still empty.
Yeah, that's true. Can I light a lantern to go through it? Am I right?
If you can, go for it.
Okay, I light it and then I go.
As you push your way through, you feel that same, like, it's like your mind has to yawn, but can't.
Weird.
But it is easier than it was the last time. As you push through it, you emerge into this other room. A sarcophagus carved from glassy black stone stands atop a natural pedestal toward the north. The sarcophagus has fluted embellishments, delicate ribs, and murals, showing groveling demons. In the center of the lid is carved the symbol containing the four symbols of the elements. You recognize the banners of the cults of air, fire, and water, and can surmise that the last one is of earth. There is a tunnel that leads to the east.
What are the elemental weapons again?
The trident drown, the spear wind vane, and the pick iron fang, all of which you have in a bag of holding.
But I'm missing one, is that right?
You are, you're missing the fire one.
Great. I'm gonna creep past the sarcophagus and try not to disturb it.
Okay, roll stealth.
It's terrible. 11!
Not the best you've ever done, Captain Expert. You like feel this kind of like whining, tugging at your mind as you skate near it. Your heel slips through the murky water and like kind of slicks and slides and you catch yourself. But then you pass and you're heading through the tunnel to the east. The stonework in this chamber is noticeably different from the natural caverns nearby. The room was roughly hewn from the surrounding rock, but never dressed or finished. In the middle of the floor is a strange symbol shaped like overlapping circles cut into the stone in 2-inch wide channels. Stairs lead up to the north.
Do I know anything about this symbol?
Make an arcana check.
Natural 1.
Nothing about this symbol. You're not even sure that it's a symbol. It might just be like the way the rocks look.
That's funny. I'll avoid the symbol on the ground.
You Jon Snow the hell out of the sigil. You know nothing.
It's good. And there are stairs leading up, correct?
No, actually, they lead down.
Okay.
They lead down to the north.
Copy. Let's siddle around the outsides of the walls so I don't have to touch the symbol because I'm worried about it, this rock thing, and go towards door.
The stairs?
the stairs. I'm trying to think if I want to make myself something cute. I think because I'm alone now, I'm going to make like a little ninja outfit.
You think you're alone now? There doesn't seem to be anyone around?
I don't know that song.
Okay, but you knew it was a song.
I did. Because every time you quote a song to me, you look me dead in the eyes and turn your face to the side.
I have a tell.
Dude. I cast disguise self and make myself all blacks. Like, mask on.
Uh-huh.
And I keep going.
Like me when I was 8?
Yes, exactly. I'm Trevor Wade.
You're a little chubby and you're self-conscious about it.
Oh, no.
It's okay, that will never go away.
Oh, no.
Okay, as you creep down the stairs, a platform is erasing from a chasm at the far end of it, which is only about 40 feet away from you. You see a number of robed cultists and a red-skinned, demonic-looking, burly figure riding on, and when it raises, it comes like kind of flush with this jetty that sticks off over the chasm, and they all run out and say, "Prisoners are escaping! After them!" And head off into another part of the cavern down a tunnel to the west. Now a 10-foot-wide slab of stone is levitating in the center of a vertical shaft. The room is empty. The beating of your heart is the only sound.
So in front of me, it goes up and down?
Yeah, it's like an elevator made of magic.
Totes. I'm going to go up to it and see if I can figure out how to bring it down.
A bridge-like pier of rock juts out to meet it. That's what you're standing on now. Hot fumes rise from the shaft, and it glows with a fiery light below this level. It continues upward into darkness. Two passages lead away from it. One you came from, one where the cultists all ran. A small brass gong and a striking hammer stand near the ledge.
Don't really want to bang the gong.
Get it on?
Bang the gong. I know that one. That was my mom's...
Father-daughter dance at her wedding?
No! Was her phone ringer for a long time.
Your mom's a cool lady.
She is. Love her. What a gift. Okay, there's a gong, and I can go the way they went. I don't want to go that way, though, because that's where all the prisoners are. Is there anything down below?
Down there, you can see the glow of flames.
Okay.
And feel heat coming from it.
I guess I'm confused about where to go, because I need to find this fire weapon, right?
You do.
So I should walk through the fire?
Where else can you turn?
All right, let's try and go down. I want to search the platform and try and figure out how to make it go down.
Okay. Make an arcana check.
Dude, what the frick? I'm going to luck it. That's better. How about 14?
How about 14? You're searching around the edge of this platform. It is ornate. It's made out of obsidian on the walls curving around toward the bottom. Not that you can see the actual bottom without slipping off. But it's just floating there in the middle. You know, it's got the symbol of the fire cult inscribed on it. And you're thinking about what to do and, like, trying out all the hand positions. And, like, making stuff happen and nothing's going on. And you're, like, still kind of, like, scratching your brain, reeling from the battle that you just had. And you remember Victoria's words, "You must let your hope turn to ash."
Can I try to do some fire stuff on this?
If you have fire stuff, like, that you could use.
Can I just try, like, putting the lantern, like, fire on the graft? Like, trying to, like, turn the fire on.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thing. Like you're trying like to use a candle to light.
Yeah,
a candle. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, try you do Hanukkah that for a while. And then it burns your hand. You go, ah, and, like, drop the lantern and it, like, like, falls and fizzles out.
Uh-huh.
And you take one fire damage.
That's fair. Good thing I just got one HP more.
You got 3 HP more.
Hope turned to ash.
As you say that, musing out loud the way Myri does,
uh-huh,
as the word ash leaves your mouth, the platform begins to lower.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
As much as puzzles are fun listening material.
Does it stop at the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
good. I wasn't going to have to be like... Hope,
no,
hope,
it,
hope!
Nope. It's just lowering.
Got it.
The walls of the shaft widen as the platform descends. Heat and light radiate from a bubbling lake of lava that covers most of the floor. Lava flows through an exit to the northeast. Stepping stones of basalt columns lead to a passageway to the northwest. So you are descending now over a lake of lava. I make it to my map of the lava lake.
The Goron Cave.
And there's columns, like stepping stones, that lead to this tunnel over to the northwest. But you are now in a very warm area. This is not cold lava. So I'm going to roll a d6. Damn. Smoke is rising up out of the lava. The whole area is kind of difficult to see, and it is considered lightly obscured.
Copy that. Neat.
So you have a disadvantage on perception checks that rely on sight, but so do other creatures.
Okay. Let's start sneakily hopping through these platforms.
Roll stealth.
14.
You hop across, and as you get into the tunnel on the other end, you kind of like jump through this light cloud of smoke and are immediately face to face with a tall, muscular humanoid covered in fur with vulpine features.
Oh, shit.
Facing away from you.
So I like, whoop, like Samurai Jack hopping from platform to platform. Like,
yeah, dude.
Like I am the smoke. And then I get on the last platform and I go, ah. And as I do that, my breath kind of clears the smoke in front of me and there's a man. And I'm like, oh. Yeah. And we're like inches from each other.
But you have the drop on him.
Yeah, screw it. Let's kill this dude. I'm going to summon my hexblade inside of him.
So trademark my remove. You have advantage on the attack.
Okay. Oh man, if I don't hit. How embarrassing. 23.
Will hit.
14 plus 4 is 18 damage.
It is. You summon your hexblade in him and it sticks through his armor. He like falls forward, stumbles, looks, turns around and looks up at you and he goes, I thought I gutted you already.
Did we fight?
This is the dude that killed you.
Oh shit. Oh no.
Roll initiative.
Oh no. Oh boy. 9.
Oh 9.
Oh my god, I have to tell you this because you'll understand it. My improv friend posted that picture that's like the guild artisan picture on the page of the player's handbook. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it starts talking about backgrounds? That little, like, gnome or halfling or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, is this Neil Casey? And now I can't unsee it.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
I know.
I'm a member of an artisan's guild, skilled in a particular field.
Fuck, that's so good. Have you watched Avenue 5?
No, is he in it?
He's, like, a recurring character. It's amazing. It's so good. And apparently he's in another comedy space show, too, called, like...
Yeah, Other Space.
Other Space, yeah. I want to watch that. Quartering the market. But he's good.
Okay. So this hobgoblin unsheathes the very sword that gutted you back in the cultist hideout and rolls to attack you. He can't give martial advantage to himself. He was left behind to guard and has no friends with him anymore. Will 15 hit you?
It meets my armor class, but I would like to defensive duelist to make myself 19.
So he goes to stab you the exact same way, thrusting up through, and you like see the sword coming toward you, and then last minute go, oh right, and like rotate your wrist around and king knock it out of the way with Talon. He has another attack though, 19, and you've used reaction, so this one will hit.
I'm wondering if it lasts. I'm gonna look up the wording of that, but it would hit either way, so I'm gonna. This is just for next time.
2-1. You take 4 piercing damage.
4 piercing damage. So it does, it lasts for the AC for the entire attack.
Cool.
So, okay. Just so you know. Cool. I'm going to booming blade him.
Yeah, girl.
21.
We'll hit.
And this plus 3d6. That's it. Whoa. Holy crap. Plus 4, 22 damage.
Fuck, dude.
And now he is surrounded by sound and can't move.
A little circle of ravens, like, pops up on the ground. Among them is just, like, looking up at him.
Oh, cool.
Expectantly.
Cool. And I'm gonna fancy footwork to disengage and move. Can I move, like, 10 feet back?
Yeah, if you can move back onto the columns.
On this platform? Cool.
Yeah.
Let's move like 10 feet back.
All right, you hop back into the lightly obscured area from the smoke.
Uh-huh.
That's just your action. You stole the bonus action.
I stole a bonus action.
You're in the smoke.
I can hide in the smoke.
You can. And they'll have disadvantage to find you.
7 plus stealth is 14.
Tight. Tag. And then like he looks around and I think he knows instinctually that these ravens are no good.
What, because birds appeared at this fire cave?
Mm-hmm. He goes, huh, well, hail the heart of fire. This time, Vanifer will make certain you stay dead. And he takes a step forward. The ravens, caw, caw, and their caws, boom, caws. Their caws cause damage.
5 damage.
Which is enough to kill him. But as he goes forward, he hits this brass plate.
Oh, shit.
And like, jams it shut, and the thunder shatters it. And the basalt pillars, you can see from the platform behind you, begin sinking.
Oh, man.
One by one into the lava.
Oh, man.
Make a dexterity check.
Okay. 24.
You run forward as they're sinking down underneath your feet. You leap and roll onto this ledge, safe, but the way behind you now is blocked off.
Oh, man. Myri looks back. She goes, we'll die here. That's fine. And she goes forward past this guy. Oh, wait, loot the body. What's on this thing? What does this guy have of mine?
Oh, this guy doesn't have anything of yours.
Damn.
He has better armor than yours.
That's what I want.
A breastplate, but it would make your AC 16.
I take it.
There you go.
Love that for us.
You put the breastplate down over Scar in your just below your rib cage, where this same hobgoblin gutted you not 2 days before. Jesus. I think yesterday.
Cool. All
right, tunnel curves around to the right.
I put on this breastplate and it immediately fizzles and then turns into ninja clothes again.
Yeah, you put it on and it goes...
Yeah.
Dope.
So I walk forward then.
On your wooden sandals that aren't actually there. Mm-hmm. Okay, new area, new role. Smoke is likewise in this area, so it's difficult to see through. But you can see that half of this oddly shaped chamber is set higher than the other half, as if it had cracked and shifted a few feet upward. A natural pillar is the only feature of the upper level. In the center of the lower level, a vortex of flame jets from the floor toward the ceiling. So just like this pillar of fire down below, pillar of stone up above.
She walks towards it. She's not going to touch the fire at all. She's probably going to stay back because it's really hot. So the floor's like off? What do you mean?
So it's basically like, it's like half of it is at a higher level than the other. Uh-huh. It looks like at one point in time it was solid and then it like cracked and then just dropped.
Cool. Is it small enough for me to climb?
Yeah. You can make an athletics check to climb it.
I'll climb up that.
Tight.
Stealthily. Ooh, it did very well. 24.
You like really quickly like clamber up the sides and making no sound. You catch yourself on the edge with your elbows and like slowly peer over, see that the coast is clear, and then heave yourself up.
Cool.
This part of the room appears to be empty. There is just that stone pillar there.
I'm going to go investigate the stone pillar.
Make a perception check.
Gotta stop rolling. This dice is on timeout. Holy crap. I'm a luck. I'm using all my luck for just finding stuff today. 11.
11. It's okay. That's an important thing to find. You can see a hole up next to where the pillar like meets the ceiling. You can see the like the bottom rung of a ladder just below there. So you'd have to scale this pillar and then jump up to that. But it is a way out.
Cool. Is there anything else of note in this room?
Now that you're on the upper level, you can see on the other side of the vortex of flame, there is a tunnel that leads that way. So there's 2 exits to this room.
Tunnel. Oh, I've been playing a lot of video games where I go the not normal way. I'm going to go check out that tunnel.
The one down below?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You scale down the wall again on the other side of this pillar of flame. Like as this tunnel emerges back into the area with the lava, you can see on a causeway, Ren, bound in brass chains.
Oh my god!
To the north, lava continues to flow through a wide passage, the magma almost touching the eastern wall. Hanging from a pair of stout brass chains near the western tunnel is a large brass gong.
I run up to Ren, and I'm going to try and undo his chains. Are they magic at all?
As you touch Ren, your hands pass through him, and he vanishes in a puff of smoke.
Ah, shit.
You hear a high-pitched giggle. And see behind you a tiefling woman. She twirls, then throws a small stick, not toward you.
The gong.
It reverberates through the cavern in a low tone. Dum. And then she vanishes. A pile of molten lava lurches up at the sound of the gong. A large golden eye with a goat-like obsidian slit peeks open. Fiery tentacles slurp out of the molten rock and lash out toward you. Roll initiative.
Shit. Oh my god. 9.
Beats a 1.
Hell yeah.
Natural 1.
Does it look like it wants to stay in the lava?
It looks like it wants everyone to stay in the lava.
I'm thinking about running. but I'm just wondering if I'm choosing to run and then having a lava monster follow me while I have to climb a giant pillar. How big is it?
Oh, it's massive. It's like, did you ever play Conker's Bad Fur Day? Uh-huh. There's a monster made out of shit that's in a very similar kind of arena.
Like poop?
Yep. And he sings opera and you have to throw toilet paper into his mouth. It's a weird game. But it's like, yeah, this giant, like, massive mound. I'd say it's about like 20 feet from base to top.
What am I looking at? Incredible. Good for them. I'm gonna run.
Okay.
I run and dash out and try and get up that pillar.
The Great Mighty Pooh, that was his name.
The Great Mighty Pooh.
You dash back as these tentacles lash over the causeway, scorching the rock. You dash in and dodge around the pillar of fire that is now surging, and magma is bubbling up through the hole. I'm not going to make you do another athletics check. You dash up the first wall, but now I'm going to make you make one to get up the pillar.
I gotta get up that pillar. Can I move on it and have something heavy on the end of a string to help me?
Do you have strength or discipline? Because you'll need both.
I don't know. Athletics. 18.
Okay, yeah. I feel like you just like have this like little sash of, don't know where it came from. It might be part of your illusion, but you hop and haul yourself up this pillar and then jump, climbing onto the bottom rung of the ladder and bring yourself up into a chamber. In here, noxious fumes erupt from a nearby vent. Make a constitution save.
18.
Okay. You quickly hold your breath beneath your ninja mask. And you are not poisoned by this cloud as you climb up this tunnel into air, which is noticeably hotter. I need you to make another constitution check, please.
19.
You're sweating, but you are not sweating bullets quite yet. Playing with the environment a lot in this dungeon.
I like it. It's fun.
The air in this room is noticeably hotter as you climb through the stinking cloud. The steep passage opens into a chamber with a convex floor, like a bowl. Scores of humanoid skulls, mostly scorched and charred, are stuffed into niches on the walls. Many of them burn with flames, each varying in color, casting the entire chamber in a bizarre light.
Are the skulls glowing? Is that what you said?
Many of them are on fire, like candles. Jesus. But the skulls themselves are burning.
Got it. This is so metal. First of all. Is there anything fire weapony looking in here?
Make an investigation check.
6.
As you like investigate the skulls, looking for like a hidden switch or some sort of cache, maybe one that comes loose, one of them, wreathed in green flame. Green flame!
What is that?
It's from another podcast. It's just a thing that I do. The empty sockets suddenly erupt with twin eyes of fire and it... roll initiative.
Oh no! How about a 12?
12 versus 15.
Let's fight. Never run away from a fight. Don't exist.
Hey, that's a crit.
No.
Ooh, you don't want me to crit with this friend.
I would like to use shield.
Okay.
Would it still hit? For a crit, it would, wouldn't it?
For a crit, it would hit you anyway, but I rolled 2 attacks.
No, I don't want to use shield. I want to use uncanny dodge.
You're totally fine.
That's what I do.
Because it shoots 2 rays of fire out of its eyes at you. So... you're using uncanny dodge, so you're going to take half of 28. You take 14 fire damage. As these flames erupt around you.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Does it feel like this is just a trap, or is this skull alive?
It looks like it's going to keep coming at you.
Great.
Also, it seems to be laughing. That was kind of my Noel laugh, but it applies to flame skulls.
I'll stab it. I think I'm going to grab actually my Hexblade and Spinneret and stab it. If I Booming Blade my Hexblade, can I still attack with Spinneret is my question, I guess.
Yes.
Let's do that.
It's the bonus action.
10 plus 8 is 18 to hit.
We'll hit.
All right, he's boomed. And 15 damage. And Spinneret, 19 to hit.
Also does.
Oh, how about max damage? 11.
Fuck yeah, bruh.
That's how much my other damage was. Amazing.
That number minus 11 is that number. Okay, you
stab it in both of its eye sockets and like throw it, kind of ripped it up out of the shelf up into the room. It clatters against and its flames grow brighter around it.
And it's got little ravens looking at it with their heads cocked.
Yeah, no, they're like flying around it.
Uh-huh,
like completely encircling because it flies. It looks around and hovers, like seeing them. I think it knows what they are.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's magic as hell.
Yeah, dude.
And it is going to... Yeah, why not? It opens its jaw and a little spark clinks there and like soars across the room to you. Fireball.
Oh no, thank you.
8d6. Oh, that's funny. You're going to take 28 fire damage.
I think I get to make a dex save.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, make a dexterity save.
24.
Yeah, so you like jump kind of backwards into the toward the tunnel as this fireball erupts, and?
I uncanny dodge, and I got yes. that dex save. So
you take 7 fire damage.
Yeah, baby.
As you like, a fireball goes off, scorching many of these skulls, and you float down and catch yourself on the tunnel just above this cloud of sulfur, like hang low and then pull yourself back up and spring back into the room.
Oh, shit.
Heat wafts off of you, smoke filling this chamber.
I'm gonna Hexblade Curse this guy.
Tight.
Pull out my shield.
I think you've like practiced this maneuver where like you put Spinneret behind you as you like loop your arm into the shield's... what are those called? Shield's handle?
I don't know. Definitely has a word. I don't know what I just have to say. I'm gonna Hexblade him. Team Hexblades. 21 to hit.
Will do.
Dude, that +8 is clutch. 21 damage.
Sick, bro.
Rogues.
How do you kill him?
Oh, snap! I slap this raven onto him.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes over his little, like, skull eyes. And when the feathers clear, or, like, the black ink clears his little skull eyes, I'm already at him, like, stabbing up through the bottom of his jaw.
And I think you, like, you take it and then fling it down this tunnel that you just came from, and as it falls, it goes...
Yeah.
And burns into the pillar of flame.
Totes. And I get 8 HP, because it died.
Yeah, you do.
I'm gonna chug a potion. I don't have time for a short rest, right?
Not right here.
Yeah, cool. I take a potion. Oh, nice! Get another 16 from that potion. Sorted. Okay.
The tunnel opens up to the east.
Cool, let's go towards that.
It opens above a pool of lava that you saw earlier, the surface of which is 30 feet below. A metal catwalk suspended 10 feet from the ceiling by iron chains connects to another tunnel on the far side, as well as to a stone column rising up from the magma. The catwalk passes through a hole in the column, and in the lava below you can see serpentine creatures gliding and splashing. The lava cascades into the sacrificing pool to the south.
Nice.
Where you can see the mound of lava has sunken back.
It's not a creature.
Make a dexterity check, please.
About 15.
The crust of the cliff that you were standing on crumbles away and falls down into the lava. It bubbles up as the stone hits its surface. But you step back in time, you don't slip down.
There's like fire eels down there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to carefully try and cross this bridge.
Make your way across this catwalk. In the center column, as you pass through, you can see there is a rock with the fire cult's symbol on it and a small brass box underneath it. Oh, it probably means underneath it, like if she moves the rock, she finds it. There is a rock with the fire cult's symbol carved into it.
Can I investigate this rock?
You move the rock and there is a small brass box underneath it.
Can I open it?
Inside are 2 potions of greater healing.
Hey!
And another potion that you don't know by sight, but which appears to have a swirling smoke inside of it.
Oh! Is it, like, darkness?
It's, like, gray.
Interesting. Is there... Can I arcana check it?
Yes, you can.
Instead of just guessing as a player. 15!
The, like, bubbles coming up from the bottom of it as if it's beginning to boil and the smoke swirling around are what you remember hearing... Back in the streets of Waterdeep, as you were casing a magician shop once, was a potion of gaseous form.
Oh, I can turn into smoke?
Yeah.
Cool. This may be the whitest thing I've ever said, but I'm getting really into pepper.
Pepper?
Mm-hmm. Regular pepper.
It's black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to check the records. I'm not sure if it's the whitest thing ever, but it is...
Pretty white.
Quite white. So, you're standing in the middle of this pillar. The causeway continues on to the other side.
Plane of Fire music, go. The two potions I picked up are the same, the 44 plus 4, right?
Yes.
Cool.
That's kind of just your standard now.
Copy. Great, I keep walking forward.
On the other side, you walk through a tunnel into a room, a large, comfortable-looking room. Basalt pillars rise from the glassy floor of this circular cave to support a smooth, domed ceiling. Niches carved into the columns hold dancing flames that illuminate copper tapestries hanging on the walls. Each tapestry bears the symbol of the fire cult. Just in front of a wide exit tunnel stands a dais with an altar atop it. To the north and south are smaller chambers attached to this shrine. An ornate privacy screen blocks the view to the north. The southern room is circular and lavishly decorated. And the one to the south is just open.
The door is open or there's no door?
There is no door. It's just, yeah. It has like a where beaded curtains would be hanging if beaded curtains weren't typically made of wood.
Made of, what's that? Pumice? What's lava stone?
Oh yeah, it's got pumice stone beaded curtains.
Ow. What if it hit your face? I guess
it's exfoliating.
God, you beat me to it. I'm gonna trepidatiously creep toward this pedestal.
The one in the center?
Yeah. Is there anything up on it?
No, it appears to be more like a stage than a display case. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like where somebody would stand atop rather than, like, a place where you would display something of value. Though there are many, like, candles. Kind of like if you go to, like, a church, there's, like, shrines for, like, the saints, and there's usually, like, a bunch of candles lit and for people's prayers with, like, votive candles. It's kind of like that.
Cool.
But there's just a bunch of fire.
Then let's go down the pumice beaded curtain path.
Colorful carpets and throw pillows are scattered across the floor, while a sumptuous feast is laid out on an obsidian table along the far wall. A hookah sits nearby, a coal still glowing atop its screen. Under that is an ornate chest. A divan with finely woven cloth coverlets and pillows sits along the northern side. Small jets of flame emerge from the walls at regular intervals, providing light.
This food looks amazing. Mari, like, starts salivating and, like, reaches towards it and goes, no, no, don't. Not even a pomegranate seed.
There's, like, sausages and there's, like, chipotle mayo dips and bowls. There's all kinds of, like, barbecued meat.
There's, like, a lot of sauce. I love sauce.
Oh, there's so many sauces. There's, like, a full-up just, like, rotating rack filled with pitchers filled with hot sauces. There's mezcal.
I wish the listeners could hear how wide my eyes just went from purely your description of the saucing. There's mezcal. What kind?
Mm-hmm.
Malbien? Malbien?
I don't know. A lowland mezcal? I don't know, bud.
Lowland is a term.
Yeah, I know. It's, you taught me that.
Oh, cute. Okay. Myri, like, looks at it all, takes it all in, and is like, oh, trap. 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 She's like pointing at each of them. Trap.
This room full of traps.
Trap. Traps. Fire in the walls. Traps. But the chest. Very intrigued.
That's the least trappy of all of these things.
The traps. That
chest unguarded.
Can I investigate this chest without touching it, like for magic or?
I love just the image of you, like, your head coming around the side of it, looking close, like smelling it, like just moving your hand around it, looking for like strings.
Yeah.
Make a perception check.
Trap. 8.
Nope. It appears to be a normal, unprotected chest here in this room.
Larry's gonna play smart and not deal with this. She really wants to. Somewhere in the back of her mind, she like imagines Ren like being put on fire while she gets like eaten by a chest. She's like, maybe not. I'm just gonna go back and check out that other room.
Beyond the privacy screen is a comfortable bedchamber. Several pieces of suggestive art hang on the walls, damaged by the heat, and a number of risque sculptures of humans, tieflings, and other creatures in the throes of passion adorn side tables. This is a sexy room.
I can tell. That's what I thought the last room was going to be. That's so funny that this room is. You started that room with all the pillows, and I was like, is this a fuck dungeon?
Yo, bro, is this your fuck dungeon? In the middle of this fuck dungeon sits a bed with plush covers and many pillows. An armoire stands against the wall.
I want to investigate the armoire, though I think it's just going to be full of toys.
You open the armoire and it is full of silken robes and other comfortable looking garments.
Oh.
Make an investigation check.
I want to take a robe. I've been thinking about buying a silk robe for years. 19.
Inside the pocket of the robe that you are about to pocket is an elixir of health.
Oh, does that give me extra health for a short time?
No, it will cure you of any disease and will also remove the paralyzed, blinded, or deafened conditions. And poisoned.
I take this robe, though.
Add a Kalimsham robe.
But it's dark purple.
Yep, sure. It's dark purple. With like a cloud, or like they could be smoke plumes, but like gold inlay making decorative, yeah, like cool. Making it look like smoke. And it looks like the smoke in a Wind Waker when bombs go off.
Yeah,
it's all like round cool. And comfy.
We're really getting into the JRPG tone here.
I live in the JRPG tone. Are you kidding me? All of my fantasies are final.
Oh no. What does that mean?
Oh, the world's ending.
No, it's not. Not today.
Not if Myri Stonedaughter has anything to say about it.
Goddamn right. I'm here to save the world. There's nothing else to investigate in this main room?
Nope.
I'm gonna go to the trap room. I'm gonna touch the chest.
It's goddamn marshmallow test. Ah, Lee, if you had just waited, you would have gotten two trap rooms later.
I'm gonna touch the chest.
Touch it how? Just like put your hand on it?
I'm gonna touch it. I think she knows it's coming. I think she She's going to use her mage hand. She's going to stand behind the door.
Stand behind the beaded curtains.
Use
and just
the mage hand to just touch it and open it. Yeah.
It now stands open, but you cannot see what is inside from over here.
I want the mage hand to just reach in like a claw.
Just like...
Yeah!
It goes down and like gropes around and then like pulls up a potion. It's like, huh? Gives you a little thumbs up. Like, yeah?
Uh-huh. I bring
and,
it to me.
Brings it back to you. I'm just going to tell you, it's a potion of speed.
Oh.
Giving you all the potions.
Wow, this is like a drug party.
And it comes back and it like has just a handful of gold that it like is dripping over the table as it brings it back to you and like plops it at your feet.
Great. I take all those things. There's a room that way?
Yeah, sorry, there's a room that way. Like the tunnel continues on.
I'll go down that tunnel then.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to episode 45 of 1P D&D with Beverly Jean as Myri Stonedaughter and Trevor Wade as everyone else. Joshua Penn Pearson did the music, and this episode was inspired by the Wizards of the Coast adventure Princes of the Apocalypse. Hey, do me a favor, tell your friends to rate and review us either on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you're doing the thing. It's got an option that's like subscribe, make other people know about it. That's the one that I'm asking for, because then our community can grow, and this podcast is only as cool as our community, which, you know what? That reminds me. You can interact with us on social media. At 1PD&D is the Instagram. That's 1 like the number, P like the letter, D like the letter, N like the letter, and D like the letter. You can also use that hashtag 1PD&D on Twitter to talk to us directly. And if you're feeling so inspired, patreon.com/1PD&D is a place where you can give money to us because you like this thing and want us to keep making more of it. It takes a lot of time and love, but mostly time, to make this thing. But yeah, if you just want to give a little tip, we appreciate it. This show will always be free, so don't worry if you can't, but if you can, great. Otherwise, there's many great charities that you can give to. But I am not on the board of any of those. Maybe something to think about. The next episode is going to be up next Wednesday. That is the 8th, and we will see you then. To see the intense heat radiating off of this titanic cavern filled with a lake of gently undulating magma. A rough, uneven causeway of natural rock that you walk on now leads out into the middle, to a point where two crooked pillars of glassy black rock jut up on either side of a great altar of the same stone. On that altar is a glass orb. Just beyond the altar, a gargantuan stone colossus rises from the lava to its waist, its head back as if in agony. Tears of lava stream down its face, and lava wells up from its gaping mouth. Above the colossus's head hovers a great orb of fire and light, a miniature sun with motes of fire swirling around it. The ceiling is at least 100 feet above you. A tiefling woman stands before the altar, atop which sits this glass orb about 1 foot in diameter. She is rifling through your possessions. You can see her emptying out your bag of holding, spilling its contents at the foot of the altar. She kicks aside your dagger venom, and it spins off into the magma, where it sinks
and melts. Your remaining treasures clatter to the stone floor. Your broom, your armor, etc. Then she upends the portable hole and the dragon egg falls to the ground with a heavy clunk. In the bright light, you can see a smile alight her face. What other secrets has she been keeping from us, my dear? You look in turn and see that bound at the foot of the altar just beyond her is Ren.
How far is she from me?
70 feet from you.
Oh, goddamn. Could have misstepped in front of her and just kicked her back.
You know, you can tell a lot about a woman by the contents of her purse, but something tells me not that's not what you had in mind.
70 feet. Okay. I would like to sneak forward.
Roll stealth.
12 stealth.
You sneak into the room, and you can see Ren, like, raise his head, and his eyes kind of widen at you, but he doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. She goes, Yes, this looks like it has more than meets the eye, and she picks up your broom.
Sweet, I blast her.
Yeah, I figured. Roll with advantage.
27.
Yeah, it hits.
Do I roll the second one as well?
Also with advantage, okay. Yeah. Surprise round, doll.
Ooh, I love doll. 24.
Yeah, you've been in a noir mood, so I'm in a noir mood, dude. Both of those are going to hit.
Love it. 9 plus 8 is 17, please.
It sure is. You draw your six shooters from your side and fire them off as she turns and looks toward you and she goes, I thought the Roper would have taken care of you. If you want something done right, she like drops your broom behind her.
Oh, is this the tiefling I saw that summoned that thing?
Yeah. Copy. You have to do it yourself. And she like sinks into this kind of like a summer glow, like dancer's pose with her arms up and her leg out. She's wearing this glinting, like almost belly dancer's looking skirt where like it falls beneath her crotch but leaves her legs open. And this kind of like cowl around her neck and chest. In her one hand, she holds a long, wicked looking dagger. Roll initiative. She spins around toward you and sweeps her leg across the hall. In between you and the causeway, a wall of flame. So she is on the other side of it with Ren, and you are on your side of it.
Okay.
Brings this wall of fire up, and it is your turn.
How far am I from her?
Did you move forward at all?
I did when I was sneaking towards her.
It's your call how far you move forward. So you're either 40 feet away from her, up to 70. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I would like to be 40 feet. How far away is this wall?
This wall is immediately in front of you.
Copy.
It cuts off the entire causeway. It is 20 feet high. And, or actually, I think, yeah, when she brings it up, she's going to bring it up right on top of you.
Oh, okay.
So make your dexterity save.
Okay. 11.
Okay. 11 below her spell safety C, so you are going to take... You're looking at 20 fire damage.
I would uncanny dodge that for sure.
All right, so you take 10 fire damage as this flame raises up in front of you and you like do a quick backhand spring and feel like the heat blast across you.
Mm-hmm.
And through like little ripples in the flame, you can see her like sneering at you, a la Sephiroth in a certain JRPG.
I'm going to run towards the fire, and right before I hit it, I turn into a silvery mist, and then end
up shit.
30 feet forward to an unoccupied space that I can see in front of her.
Fucking misty stepping.
Can I go to the side of her, I should say? So like 10 feet, a little bit off to the side. And that's my bonus action, so then...
You run forward, and then... Bam.
Yep, like I'm in the fire, and that's just... I disappear.
Yeah. Now you're on the other side.
Uh-huh. And I appear, I wink at Ren, and then I slash her with my Hexblade. My shield is in my other hand.
Yeah, dude.
I guess with Booming Blade. Yeah, that's my new thing. This is my new thing for 18 to hit.
Will.
A real surprise attack, man. 18 damage.
That slices into her, and she looks at you surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And like the little smile that she had on her face falls instantly to this severe look. Also, her eyebrows are actual like horns that come off of her face and like curl back, giving her this very like intense stare. She spits a little like fireball and it sizzles against the ground where it hits. Anything else on your turn?
No, that's it.
She sees the ravens around her and I think picks up on what they do. So she is going to hold her hands toward you from where she's standing, and flames gout out from them. She's casting Burning Hands. She's going to cast it as a fourth level spell. So make a dexterity saving throw as flames shoot from her outstretched fingertips.
I don't know which die to trust. None of them. 12.
Come on, gang. Gotta work with me here. Take 10 fire damage.
I'll half it, please.
The only way to dodge this is uncannily, so you take 5 fire damage as her fingers shoot flame toward you. It is your turn.
I'm gonna pull out Spinneret and attack her with both. 15.
Hits.
Wow, nice. 15 plus 4 is 19.
As you slash against her with your two blades, she goes and hisses at you, and she says, I don't like when I have to stay put. And, yeah.
I have another attack. That was just one attack.
That was just one attack? She does say that, but go on.
The next one is 20 to hit.
It does.
7 more damage.
What she said stands. She doesn't like when she has to stay put. And she goes, taste hellfire. And cast Hellish Rebuke.
Nice. Just so you know, too, at the end of my turn, she can move now.
Thank you. Make a dex save.
How about 24?
Yeah, that's pretty high. So you take 7 fire damage. No, sorry. You take half of that. You take 4.
That's my turn. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's run those down. She's going to disengage.
Interesting.
And run back toward the wall of flame.
Hate that.
And actually, like, as she's running, she's kind of more like dancing and swirling around. So she somersaults and basically shows off like a kid who's taken like 4 or 5 gymnastics classes back toward the wall of flame. So now she's on your other side, kind of like circling around you. But she is now 40 feet away from you.
Okay.
It is your turn.
She's not going to do anything?
No, she disengages in action.
Oh, you're right. I'm so used to cheating because I'm a rogue.
Wait, what was that?
What a fool! Is she still on the right side of the flames or no? Not on the right side of the flames.
She is still on your side of the flames.
I just have a feeling she's getting away from me so she can cast Fireball. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Yeah, screw it. Let's run at her and dash bonus action and Booming Blade her.
You dash forward, sprinting toward where she ran, and then roll that Booming Blade.
12.
12 does not hit. You swipe, and the ravens that like are attached to the end of this blade go, Kah! And like shoot off into the distance beyond. As you,
can I use luck, or is it too late?
It is not too late.
I want to use luck instead.
Prince of Persia.
That's better. 15 to hit.
Does.
Sick.
This time, it connects.
Ooh, I rolled real high. 24 damage. And she can't move.
Actually, this kind of happens all in slow motion. You swipe, it goes and misses. You go, luck, go, and this time you're going to hit. And she sees that, and this time raises up a shield of flame,
oh,
which deflects the fire.
So cool. That's it for me.
Now that you're, like, right up against her, she lifts you up by, like, she grabs up underneath your arms and lifts you, and she says, I'm not afraid of the fire. And she casts Fireball centered on herself.
You little bitch!
Fifth level
Oh,
spell.
No! As a fifth level, what does that mean?
That means it does an extra 2d6, so 10d6 fire damage.
Oh, my God.
Make a dexterity save.
I get to dex save this? Oh, forgot.
You do.
How about 20?
Tight,
buddy. Dirty 20.
Yeah. Dirty 20. Okay. So you're taking half of 35, which is 18 fire damage.
I would like to half that.
Taking 9 fire damage. She like holds you up and you slip out of, because it's an illusion, her hands slip through and you duck down as the fire ignites around you. And it's almost like being at the center of a storm. You like twirl your body around with hers as she spins and the flames whirl around you. And the flames clear and she's standing right in front of you and like a little surprised to see that you're
as okay as I am.
Yeah. Has the fire chosen you?
Yes, I am your god. Fear me.
Make a deception check with disadvantage.
Agreed. But I'm really good at this. You took away my nat 20. 16.
I didn't do anything. She narrows her eyes at you and she says, you dare mock me at the center of my power? But it is your turn. This is all. This whole round's been reactions and actions.
I know. Not well.
You got a reaction, didn't you?
I don't know what that is.
That's a White Stripes song. That instead of quoting at you, I actually kind of sang.
I liked it. Okay, I pull out my shield and I hit her with my Hexblade. 14 to hit.
14 does not hit.
I thought it might not. And so I whiff it, and as I whiff it, I pull out a potion and I chug it.
Oh shit!
I was gonna do it anyway, but now it's funny. Okay, that's my turn.
She goes, "Well, don't just stand there, pretty boy. Help me out." No. And she snaps her fingers. And Ren, stats I have here, his eyes glow with these orange flames, the same color as his hair. He looks around him for some sort of equipment, but seeing none, just kind of rushes toward you. He is going to...
I'm 40 feet away.
Rush, he is going to get almost all the way there. Oh, wait. Renair can take a dash or disengage action as a bonus action at the end of his turn.
Oh.
So yeah, he runs all the way up toward you.
Yeah. Okay.
Now he's right there with you.
God dang it. Myri is like finishing chugging this potion and she sees him run up. She's like, God dang it. I'm going to actually have to fight my evil exes. Like, really? His eyes are like fire.
He's like, we never dated.
Damn it. Don't remind me. But she looks at him and she goes, oh, oh God. I don't want to hit you right now. I'm just going to focus on this. Maybe break their concentration. Who knows? And she's going to pause for effect. I'm going to stab her with my Hexblade.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to booming blade her. 24.
I will hit.
13 damage. Okay, I'm gonna chug a potion, and I know what I'm gonna do next turn.
Okay, I love that.
Because it's an action.
I don't know what it is, but I love it. Should I fear it?
You should.
Are you done?
Yep, thank you.
We're back at the top of the initiative count. Motes of flame are burning and jetting up around this node. She twirls on a spot, kind of pirouettes, and silvery like smoke comes up, and she appears closer to the altar. About 30 feet away. She regains 18 hit points.
Same pair of rope. We had a wine called Mitten Knocked, and every time someone ordered it, I would
Mitten Knocked
like that, and no one understood why.
I love that so much. A one-wined angel.
That's good.
If you say so.
God,
I
that show is
you.
So cheesy. That game is so cheesy. I forgot how cheesy it is.
Oh, God, it really is. It's fun to look back at the things you loved in your youth and realize, like, oh, shit.
Man cannot endure the meat he loves in his youth. They were talking about Final Fantasy when Benedict was giving that speech, Much Ado About Nothing. He was talking about Final Fantasy.
Now, it is her turn. Also, the wall of fire has dissipated now that she is controlling Ren. One sec. Her hands are going to be burning once more. She's burning for you. Make a dexterity save, and Ren is also going to make a dexterity save.
14.
14 is no good.
I used a luck point, too.
That's better for me. And nothing that's better for me is better for you. Take 16 fire damage.
Half, please.
Take 8 fire damage, but Ren is going to take 16, and he's going to make a wisdom save.
Yeah, is that going to snap him out of it? Come on, redhead.
But even as he's like catching on fire and like twitching as the flame is burning his back, you can see he's still focused on you.
Coffee.
But that was her turn. Your turn.
It's my turn first.
Is before Ren's, yeah.
Sick. Ren is up against me, right? Ew. Sorry.
Yeah,
Ren is within melee, right?
He's all up in your grill.
I'm going to uncork this potion of haste and drink it.
Glug, 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 glug.
My speed is double. I get +2 to my AC.
You have advantage on dex saves.
I have advantage on dex saves.
You gain an additional action.
And it lasts for a minute, but it's concentration. I don't know if that means what that means, if it's a potion.
Yeah, because it's... I'm going to say you don't, because it's in a potion form.
Love that for us.
At me if you have to.
You know where. So that's my action, but I get a second action. What do I want to do?
She's 30 feet away from you.
Correct. I think she's 40. Am I wrong?
You are wrong. She was right up in your grill and then teleported 30 feet away.
You're right. She didn't move. Can I make an unarmed... What's it called? Unarmed melee attack on Ren? I want to punch him.
What do you call that again? I want to cold cock him. Except here it's a hot cock.
Hey!
Didn't think before I spoke.
Can I clock him, but not in the way of I'm looking at him?
You're trying to knock him out?
I want him to get to make another wisdom save. Clever. Without hurting him.
Still roll to attack and it'd be one.
What, I would add my strength and my proficiency? Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, frickin' weird. I'm using so much luck. Do I want to use more luck? Because that's not going to hit him for sure. Oh, you better be worth it. 17 to hit.
I will.
Great.
So you do one plus what's your strength modifier?
3 damage total. All day.
Three damage. You go, phew, and he makes a wisdom save. You punch him and he blinks his eyes and they open and they're his original emerald green. Myri, how did I get all the way over here?
I can't believe that worked. She says to him, we're fighting her. I don't know her name. Tiefling, over there. Do you want to fight? Or do you want to stay back? Either way, here's a longbow. I shot this longbow in his hands.
And takes the arrows and goes, I think I've let you do enough on your own. I'm here to help.
Watch the fireballs. And with that, I use my bonus action to dash towards her.
Okay. Great turn. Very good turn. Ren, on his turn now, is going to try and hit her with that longbow.
Either way.
He shoots off and fires, and it like clatters off the dragon egg and goes and sinks and burns immediately. Sorry, I'm a little bit rusty. Then on the lair's turn, a fireball is going to go off next to you and Vanifer, which is her name.
Vanifer, like Jennifer, but with a van.
Yeah, Vanifer. She's Vanifer. make a dexterity save, please.
With advantage.
Haste, babe.
Oh, dude. 23.
24. You take 12 from that.
And I'll uncanny that.
Have that again. Will be 6. Like motes of fire coming out of this portal. And you're just pirouetting around them.
See?
Now I understand why they say fires dance.
It's my turn.
Uh-huh.
Well, since I just took speed, literally, I'm like, oh yeah? Well, get ready for this. And then I attack her with my hex blade. 19 to hit.
19 to hit will.
18 damage. And I want to attack it with spinneret as well.
Okay.
As a bonus action. 9 to hit will not hit. And then as my second action, I'll attack her again.
Holy crap.
For 18 with my hex blade.
Wow, that will. Yes, sorry.
For 6 more damage.
Yeah, she's kind of caught off guard as you, like, dance your way through this fire and then immediately slash at her twice. You're moving quicker than anything she's ever seen before. So you slash at her faster, fucking omni-slashing her. Anything else?
No, that's my whole turn.
So you want to dance? Let's dance. And she's going to cast darkness. So you can't see in that shit no more.
Remember that time they did that and I was like, excuse me? DM?
Uh-huh.
And now I understand, because like, there's like no spells that can see through magical darkness except that invocation.
It's a really good one. And she's going to tap her dagger against your hexblade. Like, she just kind of like runs her dagger up Talon's blade and back down, and the darkness begins illuminating from it. Or not illuminating.
From the shadow blade.
Issuing. And then she is going to stabby stab you. 11 will not hit, but a dirty 20 will.
Not if I defensive duelist!
As a reaction, uh-huh. Amazing. You just see this flash and this darkness of like these, this coal-like red dagger stab out, and you deflect the two of them aside, but you can't see anything else beyond that.
Cool. Snap. Okay. I'm in darkness, and so is she. I'm gonna cast Branding Smite and fight her. Do I roll a disadvantage? Is that right?
Fight darkness with darkness.
I guess she has... I don't know. What do? I roll a disadvantage?
Yeah. You roll a disadvantage to hit.
Okay. How about 27?
How the fuck? Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does.
I got a
yeah.
20 and a 19. These dice been holding out on me all day, so...
So just barely block the crit. That's tight, though.
Sneak attack, right?
Yeah. And the extra 2d6.
Oh, and 2d6! I don't even have enough d6!
There are worse problems, you know?
No, not at all. Okay, 6 plus 6 is 12, plus 7 is 19, plus 4 is 23. 29 damage.
Fucking A.
And
you can actually feel, like, the pitch black go even, like, thicker than tar.
Uh-huh.
You can't see anything around it as you feel Talon make contact with this flame, and, like, a gout of orange flame erupts up, and then it is immediately swallowed and extinguished.
Dang.
Anything else?
That was just my first attack, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one attack that you just did.
I do another regular attack with Hexblade.
Mm-hmm.
How about 15 to hit? I think that does.
15 to hit will, except a shield goes up.
I'll try and hit her with my bonus action too. Well, maybe. Yeah, I'll just try and hit her again with the spinneret. How about a crit? Will a crit hit?
Wait, did you roll with disadvantage?
No, I didn't.
You're in darkness.
It's less than a crit. It's a 16.
If it wasn't a double crit. Yeah, so you swing, and you're swinging kind of blindly in this cloud, but sensing for her movements, listening around. You feel after that first connection that, her scream, you go to hit again on top of it with your haste, and it ping, ping against this magical shield.
That's my turn. Thank you.
Ren can't see shit, Captain, so he's just going to dodge and prepare for whatever's going to come out of there.
Smart. Love that for him.
On her action, she misty steps out of the darkness, regaining 16 hit points. Now that she's on the other side of this inky cloud, you can't see this, but Ren sees as she manifests. She holds her dagger aloft and cries, "With this key, I call forth my master, the Eternal Flame." The darkness gets pushed away from you like a cloud of ink and water further away, and you were standing once more on this pillar, and you can see the fire portal flare, and a gout of flame lashes out. It laps against the dragon egg, arcs like this strange leash, and connects with the glass orb that is there. Squinting against the light, you can make out a form dancing in the flames and limbs crawling toward the node like something crawling out of a well. The room gets even hotter. Make a dexterity save.
With advantage.
Yeah.
24.
These flames splurt, and you quickly back up and dodge, and like Ren kind of runs forward to where you are, and now you're standing next to one another, and you can see this like fiery face and like fingers crawling out of the node.
Oh, man.
That was her turn. It is your turn.
Can I destroy the node with an Eldritch Blast?
You can Eldritch Blast the node.
All right. I'm going to do one, see if it works. How about 27 to hit?
It will hit.
14 damage.
You fire off a raven at it. Actually, two ravens at it, right?
No, I just shot it once. Because if it doesn't work, I'll still hit her.
Got you. Okay. It fires off, and we see this like spectral raven, like a bullet bill, soaring off, and it sizzles against the fire node, which flares bright again red. It doesn't appear to have done anything at
all.
Great,
I'll shoot her.
And then so quickly you aim your other one down and fire off at her.
15 to hit. 11 damage. Still good. Now, with the rest of my beautiful turn... How far is she from me? 30?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm gonna run up past this thing and just try and kill her. I'm gonna hexblade her. That's 19 to hit.
Oh, well.
22 damage. I'll offhand attack her as well. That makes sense with how many attacks I have. Yes. Okay, great. Probably not. 10 to hit.
Does not.
That's the end of my turn. Thank you.
You slash with talon and like this blood splatters down from her and like sizzles as it hits the rock. She's on the edge of the cliff. Like she can see the undulating magma just behind her. And she looks like scared. Anything else on your turn?
That's it.
Ren takes your longbow, fires an arrow at her, and she ping. Pings it aside with her last use of shield. That is Ren's turn. On the lair action, she is going to make a Scorching Ray. Scorching Ray. How could I? We haven't even used a single ray yet.
No, not a ray.
You're right, not a ray. Three rays.
I drink my pear cider. Oh, wait, it's empty.
27 will hit you. 15 will not hit you. 15 will not hit you. So only one of these comes through. This is from these rays coming out of the node. You're going to take probably half of this. 7. Are you uncanny dodging?
Yes.
You take 4 fire damage.
Okay.
And then on her actual turn, she runs toward you and then like swings her arms around, around. She like bends at her hips, and a wall of fire completely surrounds you and Ren. And her. So now you're like in this little arena area together. Make a dexterity saving throw, please.
15.
Not very good.
but luckily Ren got a 21.
You're taking 33 fire damage.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think it does last the whole time. Yeah. So that's it. That's I take it. How many?
33.
Frick.
What are you at?
2.
Ooh. Shit, Ren's at 1.
Oh, jeez.
The flames licking around her, the fire glinting off of her dagger. Dance with me, pretty girl. Dance with me, pretty boy. Let's all dance as the world goes down in flames.
Oh my god.
It is your turn.
Okay. I'm gonna come up to her and freaking attack, man. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
Alright.
I'm a Hexblader. 16 to hit.
Will. She used her Lashes of Shield.
Ugh. 19 damage.
How do you kill her?
I love that sound of... I'm running towards her, and she's, like, on the edge of this cliff, and I go, consider this your burn notice, and I spin around, and I slash her. She looks down, and it's just like, her body is cut in diagonal, and she just slides off, and then they fall into the back, like, Darth Maul.
Yeah, but before she even hits the ground, poof, she puffs in smoke. Her dagger clatters to the stone at your feet.
Yes, because I need
and the firewall dissipates around you.
Oh my god. I mage hand up this dagger. I turn around and I run to Ren. And I grab him and I'm like, hey, hi, how are you?
I've been better. Mairi, look. He like looks over toward the portal where this figure is still climbing. Like a full hand is now like almost like it's pressing against a membrane out of this node.
I want a mage hand and stab it with this fire dagger.
It's too far away from mage hand, but you could throw it.
Oh, no, if I miss, I'll die.
Tell you what, if you get it up there with Mage Hand and throw it with Mage Hand, I'll give you an advantage.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm gonna do it. Is this a dagger I see before me?
Yeah.
As far as stats, so it'd be my dex plus my proficiency, is that right?
Oh, you're throwing it, it'd be your strength plus your proficiency.
Thank you, so it's plus 6. God, I rolled a 1 and a 19. I'm so stressed out. So it's a 25 to hit because of the advantage.
In one timeline, this goes
horribly wrong.
But in this timeline, 30 feet from you, you use your mage hand to chuck this dagger, and it like almost seems to like disappear with a little pss and a bright light, and then the air gets pushed into the room. The node shakes and trembles. Light gets brighter. The room gets hotter. And then the portal winks out of existence with an anticlimactic tss.
She's breathing and she looks at Ren and she's like, did we do it? Is that good?
There's a rush of cold air that nearly knocks you over. And then
no, I fall chest first into Ren and I land on top of him. Hopefully protecting his 1 HP. And also, like, how are you? How's your wife? And then, like, the wind is rushing past us. Incredible.
Ren is like, Mairi, would you mind?
Oh, right. She gets up.
You stand and you see the Colossus ceases weeping. The dribbling flames from its mouth stop her.
Cool.
I wish we had the other weapons. It would have been nice to...
Oh, you mean these? She opens her bag.
Quickly, throw them into the magma.
Into the magma?
They're just metal.
Are we supposed to destroy them?
Yes, that's the entire reason I'm here.
Oh. She, like, goes to the edge and then just shoves them from the bag that only touches the bag and shakes them all out into the magma.
They sizzle and melt and, like, turn red hot and fold in on themselves, Terminator style.
Lord of the Rings style. We're literally throwing the ring in front into magma.
Ren, like, watches it done and he goes... We should have just sent you in the first place. I don't know why the Harpers think they could rely on anybody but Mairi Stone Daughter.
Oh, that's sweet, but I've been underground for like half a year.
Me too.
What?
I can't believe my cover got blown so quickly.
No, I've literally been under the ground.
Oh, you mean literally underground. Oh, yes, no, I almost... I mean, we are literally underground right now. Here, let me help you with your things.
Oh.
And he gathers up like your broomstick and what remaining... Treasures are still there. Your +2 studded leather is still there.
I think he's about to put the hole in the bag. And I'm like, no, stop. Oh my god. You don't. It's not a scarf. And I open it and I put the egg in.
You like kind of go to like push the egg in, and you go, it's like hot to the touch. And then you like open the hole and put it under. As you do that, there's a cracking sound, and then you realize the cracking sound is coming from behind you, and you see the Colossus's head bursts open in a fiery column. The magma ripples and swells. A wave of it lashes over. It begins to flood the room.
Oh my god.
What do you do?
I'm putting everything in my bag, and as I'm reaching for this thing happens, and I look down, and the broom is there. And I go, you ready to go for a ride?
Yes, please.
I grab the broom, and I grab him onto me, and he grabs on, like, we're on a little motorcycle, and I fly up and out. Is there a hole? Yes.
You race down over these causeways, and underneath the column, as rocks begin to fall, the magma churning and swelling, you weave up around, spiral around, and you shoot up the fiery throat. Ren, hanging onto your waist as you burst through back into the fane of the eye. You swivel around down these tunnels, just kind of following instinct at this point, looking until you see a light. You head toward the light and emerge into a forest. What should have been bare air is not, and you are weaving against these trees. A branch catches you on the throat and knocks you and Ren down to the ground. You hit other branches as you buffet to the forest floor below. The portable hole falls onto the ground, and you fall into it. And then bounce kind of back out and peel it off the ground. As you do, the egg tumbles out onto it and a crack appears on its side. That's where we're going to call it for today.
Oh, no. My baby's coming.
But fucking did it, dude.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. That felt so good.